split some pliers, some pliers for a wrench, a wrench for a hammer, hammers everything else. It just don't seem to make much difference.
That's old enough when you can still smoke on the roof side of the well side.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, those are old enough where, I mean, you look on there, it tells you how many quarts of nitroglycerin they used to shoot the well. Like, no joke. Like, pretty much all of those are. Yeah. It's literally like, you know, did 100 quarts or something like that. Yeah. You look at it, I was like, what? You know, my student worker's like, what the hell is that? It's like, nitro, bro. Nitro. Like, there's a guy out there smoking a cigarette, like, pouring it in the thing and then lighting it with a cigarette. Yeah. Before it goes down.
You look at those old photos and you can see. I remember there's one old photo that I came across on something. I was going through some historical stuff from this book that I was working on and with some this group. And there's this photo, and then everybody's standing at the well site. You got a couple nice Packers, you got the business types. Nobody's in safety gear, and they're all looking at the wellhead. They're all like right there, and they're getting ready to frack a well. And they weren't pumping it yet, but everybody's standing around like the, you know, kind of gawkers. I'm just like, holy shit, what a time that would have been. That's just, you know, talk about wildcatting the frack world. It just kind of, you know.
Yeah. Safety. Never heard of her.
Like, what?
Kind of deal.
Well, all right.
God, there's still.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
No,
yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to ask you the same thing.
What? No, I was just going to say, it's like there's still some pages on Instagram where I see, like, obviously Instagram pushes this stuff towards me. You still see, like, guys working with their shirts off, like, slinging chain on rigs, like modern day, I'm guessing probably out in Kansas and MidCon and stuff like that. Like, holy shit, man.
Oh yeah, Kansas is that way. I just did a post for so I do these social posts for different clients. I got this one client that called Enercat. We've had some of Bart French was on here with us. He was a great guest. But they basically have this downhole tool that prevents paraffin, among other things. But that's not important. And so, but they put them in these little wells in Kansas, and a little bit of West Texas too. And so I get all these constant videos of them putting this tool down hole. And there's this guy standing there. He does have his hard hat on, and he's kind of guiding this tool down hole on the rig. And he's just got a big shirt that says chilling. It just says chilling, C-H-I-I-L-I-N. And I'm just like, and so the post that I did was just like, I'm like with Intercat, you can be chilling like this guy. And it's just totally like, and this is like 6 months ago. It's just like, and those bastards, you know, when they came out and they said, well, everybody needs to wear, you know, FRCs, they're like, fuck that. It's too goddamn hot out here. We're not going to wear that shit. It's like, well, you know, it's a different world up there. It's a different world.
Oh, yeah. Well, teach your own. My dad was a safety guy. And he was he ran a welding shop for a while. I was a safety guy and a QA guy for a long time. So anyway, I kind of grew up around a lot of stuff. I wasn't very good at it. I'm about half deaf from shotguns and concerts, you know, and God knows my hands are all banged up from not wearing gloves enough too. Like, I got my thumb still to this day. I got it caught in a grinder at one point, had a nice little 90 degree nick out of my fingernail for a while.
Nice. Back,
yeah. And I was like, maybe I should start wearing gloves again. Yeah. Like, as the son of a safety man, right? So, you know, I'm trying to be a little bit better these days.
Oh man, you should put your guitar and singing experience to use on that and write a new song, son of a safety man, son of a sailor man.
Actually, that's a good idea.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I need to be. We've been wanting to do some kind of funny stuff like that. You know, when we bought, so we have this office. So I've got a handful of partners. So me and two other partners own the office building. So outside of Sabata, which is the main company. And one of the other partners owned this warehouse back behind us. And these were both, like, it was an old carpet company that had been around in Midland forever, called Moffitt Carpets. And that warehouse, I mean, the place had been abandoned for like 5 years or if not more, actually probably longer than that. It was full of carpeting. And so we took it as is. I'm not joking. Like, we took easy 6-7 30-yard dumpsters of flooring material out of that warehouse, and we were joking for a while that we're going to do like a Better Call Saul, like Saul Goodman style commercial. We're going to put on like a crazy suit
and go
out there and get the little wavy things and like, hey man, with every well log purchase you get a free roll of carpet type
free roll of carpet.
You know, we never could find anybody who's good with the camera to do it or could do the editing, and so we never got around to it. I really wish we had. Would have to be
yeah, that would have been good.
So
So as a geologist,
always liking a stupid crap.
You know, we a lot of times on the show, at you know, on the we've had a lot of frat guys, a couple drillers, and so we always ask, you know, best pranks. And so, you know, I don't interact with a ton of geologists. Is that the same in the geology world? Do you guys fuck with each other? Like, what is, have you seen anything crazy out in the field other than just drinking beer and
not really, to be honest. I mean, I never really, so I never mudlog. I know the mudloggers catch a lot of hell on the rig. I've never done it though. I've had some buddies. I've heard some real horror stories from that. But as far as like just in the office and stuff like that, not really. But I think the big one is probably field camp, you know, because all geologists usually do, you know, 4 to 6 weeks in a tent or 4 to 6 weeks of field work, usually between junior and senior year, kind of depending on which school you went to is like kind of how intense it is. I went to A&M for undergrad. And so I got out in 2010. And I mean, buddy boy, we were in a tent for 6 weeks straight. I think we showered maybe 3 or 4 times in those 6 weeks, you know. And I mean, dude, you want to talk about, I mean, because like we're in the middle of nowhere, like our prof didn't like us using our phones and stuff,
yeah,
you know, and it was kind of weird. Like during the day, we couldn't talk to each other. So we'd go out in the field like 7 a.m., 7:30 a.m. We'd spend all day mapping, all day. Until like probably 4:30, maybe 5. And we're not allowed to talk to each other at all. So you're out there in the middle of nowhere with your Brunton, you know, just mapping out a bunch of rocks that you can barely see. And then you get back in the van and go back. And then the good thing, because we were living in a tent, we had to cook all our own food and blah, blah, blah. So we weren't allowed to work on our maps back at camp. So, which is fine, because then you just go back to camp, get hammered, and do it all over again. And you just do it for 42 days straight, right? And like you get pretty good towards the end. Everyone's pretty salty, you know. I mean, we could break down camp and, you know, break down camp, get packed up in, you know, probably an hour and a half or something like that. I mean, we had some, you know, I play guitar and sing, and my buddy, Zach Holland, so the one who played stand-up bass with me up at Mines, he went to A&M as well. And there was a couple things. I brought along a mandolin. And I would play guitar or mandolin and sing, and he would have this big 7-gallon water jug, and I had a big steel, because I always carried a pocket knife, so I had a big steel, like, sharpen your knife with, and yeah. He would play that big water jug with the steel and a Coors Light can full of rocks for the hi-hat, and just go, boons, boons. That's what we did the entire 6 weeks. And we wrote a song, so every place we stopped, we just crazy shit happened. So every place we stopped, we made another verse to the song. So by the end of the camp, I mean, we had like, it was like a 15-minute song that we all like kind of played together and stuff. So it was fun. There's just like stupid stuff like that. Like that's the first time I'd really spend time in the mountains too. So like the fact that we could throw our beer in the creek and it get cold was like a huge deal, you know, especially from us coming to College Station, you know, and like our first hike from College Station was, McKittrick Canyon, so up the Permian Reef Trail, wherever, on the backside of Guadalupe Peak. Dude, like College Station's like what, 150 foot elevation, you right. know, and it gets out to like, like 6 or 7,000. Dude, we were dying. And I went back years later at Mines, it wasn't that bad, but at the time I was like, this sucks. And our prof did like triathlons and stuff. He didn't give a shit about anybody. Like, he was gonna, if you didn't make that trip that first day, they literally sent you home and you had to wait a whole another year to do it again. So it was, that's probably the closest that you get to kind of hazing in the geology side is field camp. Mines, we did the same thing for the engineers too. Have you ever heard anybody talk about like the going to Macedonia? So you ever talk to any mines petroleum engineer? They do like 2 weeks out in the field of Macedonia, Colorado, which is really not even a town. It's a bar and two houses. Right. And it's the owner lives in one house and his mother, I think, lives in the other one. Like quite literally, that's the whole town. It's outside of Rangeley. And so the big thing for that is you do the Macedonia snake bites is like the rite of passage, which is just you take a shot. And then the bartender gets a stapler, like you staple like the plastic on, like when you're framing a house, right? Yeah. Like they take that stapler, and as you're sitting there taking their shot, They freaking, that stapler comes out of the heavens like Thor's hammer, and they go ka-tunk and staple your chest. Swear to God. And yeah. And like that's kind of the test, is like how many staples you can do in a night and stuff like that is kind of, you know, the big contest. That's probably one of the most like whatever ones. So I think I did like 9 in a night and still was teaching the next day and just woke up. You know, because your shirt's all bloody because it's like it's chrome. Yeah, because it's zinc staples, right? So it doesn't heal up, right? You ever get cut by zinc or like a, what do you call it? Like the little rings you put in a pig's nose? I grew up raising hogs. What do you call those? Like just the little copper nose rings, remember? So it doesn't heal up anyway. So you wake up the next morning, you're all kind of like bloody and hungover and stuff like that. Anyways, it's definitely anybody that went to mines and listened to this, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So it's kind of cool because it's such a big deal. Even like a lot of the, you know, we had a lot of students from the Middle East who obviously don't drink, but even they would still do it, and they would do it with like shooting a thing of water. It's just like, dude, like I'm not sure if I'm that sold to the cause to get stapled stone cold sober.
Just so you can have
that. Anyways, interesting.
That geologist.
I mean, it's a bonding experience.
That is true. That is totally true. That's. I guess these were engineers.
Yeah. So anyways, you ask anybody who went to petroleum mines, man, I guarantee they've done it. So it's that's probably about as close as, you don't really see, geologists aren't really, you know, because most of us don't really, you know, grad school, you know, in grad school, no one's getting that wild, you know, and unless you're in the field, like it's kind of hard to play pranks on people in the office. I mean, I guess you can, but it's a little tough.
Field camp is
where everything goes wild.
Well, hell, most of you don't talk, so it's we're a pleasant surprise that we have one with us today that actually does talk, which is actually
yeah.
So all right,
because
so,
of my engineering side. So well, that
oh, that's the engineering. Yeah, that's true. So yeah. Tell us a joke, any joke that you can think of, dirty or the better.
A joke.
If not, Lloyd's got one. It's usually way inappropriate.
Yeah, I'll let y'all do it, because I'm not sure if I got anything that should go on the
air.
You
got anything new?
Me? No, I don't. I mean, I think I tapped myself out last week. I'll have to. I meant to think of one to use today, but I forgot to write it down. I had a good one a couple of days ago, but I forgot to write it down.
My big thing, I don't really have a joke, but it's more of an observation. I've talked about this before. I'm very worried about this big ass thing on our women, because I feel like I'm 51, and I feel like by the time I'm in the senior center and I'm a widow and I'm trying to get laid in my old age, it's just gonna be a bunch of just sloppy fat asses just covered in tattoos. And so I'm not very optimistic, but probably still won't stop me, but it's not much of a joke, more of an observation.
More of an observation.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't look like it, but I've got a bunch of tattoos too. You just can't see any of mine.
I don't have a problem with tattoos.
I went to Thailand for a month in like December, January. I got some family that lives out there, and I went for Budding's wedding. Anyways, I got one of the stick pokes where they do give you the tattoo like by hand, which was hands down the most painful thing I've ever done, because I got on my chest too. Anyways, I forgot it's like a kind of a mystical thing, but it's like a, I think it's like Soktan or something like that. But yeah, like the writing it's like this one, like only a couple people know how to write it, blah, blah, blah. And so I've been using it to like, every time anybody asks me like what it means, I just like completely make something up, like make something different. Every time I was like, oh, it's like the directions to your mom's house, or, you know, it's like, oh, it's the price of oil next year, or like something random. Just to like kind of rattle people up, like what? know? Anyways,
that's pretty.
What's
funny.
Your philosophy? Like, what's your philosophy on tattoos? Or because I see a trend, like, you know, like back in the day, I'm a little bit older. You'd see these arm pieces that all kind of blend together. You got like koi and shit. And then lately, I'm seeing more just like you got like a box fan, and then you got like a saw, and then these random kind of like almost like old school sailor tattoos. Are which
Mojis.
Way?
Do you
call? Yeah, they call it all pork chopping. That's what you call it. Yeah, that's what they call pork chop. Honestly, that's what mine are too. So I've got like, have you ever seen, I don't know if y'all, I probably haven't shown you this, but you ever seen, there's Bill O'Reilly there's a clip on YouTube, it's been around forever. Bill O'Reilly has this breakdown on camera, and they're trying to like make him read something. And he's just like cursing out the cameraman. He's like, screw it. He's like, we'll do it live. Screw it. We'll do it live. You know, he's just yelling at him. So like, I got like that, like on my chest right here, just because when you're out and getting a little wild, it's kind of fun. Just like, oh, we'll do it live, you know, to kind of show it off. I've got another one, because usually when I fly, I usually wear shorts. And so I've got another one. It's just like a little smiley face on the back of my calf that just says, have a nice day, just like a little bumper sticker. And I get so many comments about that at the airport. It's pretty funny. So I don't know. I think it's a lot more common than it used to be. I know when I was, my first internship was in 2011. I worked in QEP when they still had an OKC office. Mm-hmm. And I remember then that we had to cover, you had to cover everything up. I had one on my leg, but you never see it anyways because I always wear cowboy boots, right? But yeah. I remember IT talking about how to cover them up. And now, like, it's not nearly as big a deal. I do see, like, especially like drilling completion side, like nobody cares. I still don't see geologists or reservoir engineers or geophysicists with like visible tattoos a lot. Definitely more than it used to. But, and I feel like too, is like, honestly, like most, I feel like it's getting pretty common for a lot of women will have like them on their wrists or like behind their ear or on their neck or something like that, like on the back of their neck. Yeah. And like, no one ever says anything. I mean, if I got one behind my ear or on my hands or whatever that was visible, I think I, you know, especially as a consultant, I still think it's, I don't think it's necessarily taboo. But, you know, I mean, it's oil and gas is still pretty conservative in some, especially private companies. You know, a lot of private companies don't really like it.
Yeah, it depends on your role. Like, I had a client I was doing some work with, and they had this unique product that kind of bolts onto the side of the drilling rig, and that's a mechanic. Basically, it's a bead recovery unit. It's for mechanical lube, and they recover the beads. And so my whole thing was, I was like, you know, we need people in these posts. We can't just be showing tools and stuff because people don't like that. And so I said, get a couple guys, take a couple shots, and then we're gonna put them out there. And so I get this shot, and there's this like nice little rig and the units right there, and you got the two guys right there, and both of them just like face tattoos, just like like down the side. Take that to CEO. He's like, yeah, I don't know if this is going to work for our larger corporation's social media. That's more than little. Now, I don't have a problem with it, but it's just kind of like, I think it's definitely getting more. It's more mainstream than it's ever been, for sure.
I agree. And like I said, like I had one on my leg forever. I just really started getting more the last few years, but still, like, all of mine, you will never see any of mine. Like, all of mine are, they don't poke out. Your ring off. You'll never see them.
That's right.
What's that?
Lloyd's got that one. Lloyd's got that one where his armpit hair and it looks like two legs sticking out like this. And that's a visual joke. You guys are gonna have to watch the video if you want to get that one. So, all right, last bit before turn you loose. You know, you're in it. You're in the thick of it. You've done some different things. Somebody getting ready to get in the business, either geology, engineering, or a little bit of both. What advice do you give them?
Man, I think the big one for me, I have a bunch of student workers that work for me. And what I always tell them, you know, is one, you know, I feel like when I was coming out of grad school and stuff like that, like you need to know the fundamentals, like just the fundamentals of geology or reservoir engineering or drilling completions, whatever like that. You always need to know the fundamentals if you're going to be a technical person, number one. And then number two is like, you know, used to, you need to be able to do Excel and some VBA, you know, which is obviously Excel is still pretty important. But like, I think now, you know, I tell everybody's like, look, coming out of school, you need to know the fundamentals of whatever your discipline is for sure. And be good at that. You need to, know Python, or at least a little bit of Python, because that's really where the industry's headed, is because we're in the optimization mode now. You know, there's always going to be a new play. But like right now, the shale industry as a whole is very mature. I mean, I saw that Thrive, you know, Daniel Energy Partners 2 weeks ago. Like, most people on the panel were thinking that we're probably going to peak out this year, at least for shale. Maybe not, you know, but it's definitely rolling over a little bit. And, you know, Ted Cross over at Novi has been putting a lot of these posts up there too. And they've got the kind of the data to back it up. You know, part of that's political. Part of it's just the maturity of the industry, blah, blah, blah. But, you know the fundamentals. Know some Python or some sort of data stuff. And honestly, like some sort of data visualization tool, whether it's Spotfire or Power BI or Tableau. No one really uses Tableau in the industry anymore. It's really Spotfire and Power BI. And I think that's it. And honestly, get some work experience, like anything, you know, and try to, you know, when I was at Mines, I liked Mines. I owe that school a lot, but there's a lot of egos at that school. I'm sure I was part of the problem too. But, you know, I remember I had a couple buddies that they couldn't get an internship, and then someone would come in and give them a lowball, you know, for an internship. And they're like, well, I'm worth more than that. It's like, look, man, it's like, I don't want to be that guy, but like, if no one's giving you any other offers, then this is what the market is valuing at, you right. know, and getting any work experience, regardless how crappy the job is still better than nothing. You know, my student workers do stuff for me. They're literally moving boxes and doing data entry, and I'm doing it with them, frankly. Mm-hmm. And I spent, you know, 10 years and $250,000 in grad school. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to get started somewhere, you know. And one of my student workers has been working with me literally from his first month of school. You know, we just got, I helped him, introduced him some folks I went to grad school with over at Diamondback, and just got a really nice little internship at Diamondback. And he's a junior, right? Like, I didn't get stuff like that until I was well into grad school, you know? Yeah. So I think, and all he's been doing is just being my right-hand man for a couple of years and doing an awesome job. It's like, hey, man, you need to go work for somebody other than me and go get some real experience. And, you know, I'm too poor to give you what you need to do. So, you know, I'm going to help you get something somewhere, make some introductions. And I think that's it. You know, it's like the industry is a lot more competitive now. I mean, there's not as many jobs as there was when I started grad school, you know, 10 years ago.
Right.
You know, you just got to take it as it is, you know, kind of I'm not going to say the good days are gone, but the easy days are, I think, gone for a little bit. It'll come back at some point, you know, hopefully maybe next year. But, you know, I think that's just me, you know,
so I think
get good at the fundamentals.
Yep. I think that's
good. I was just going to say, get good at the fundamentals, know some data stuff, and then just get some work experience and just get started. You know, I spent way too long in grad school, you know, trying to become like technical expert and stuff, which is good. I mean, it's helped me as a consultant, but honestly, man, I wasted a lot of time and a lot of money, you know, and I missed the good days, you know, and it cost me a lot of money in the end just to miss pay. You know, I got other things out of it, but it is what it is. You know, just get started. Just, you know, there's always a better decision. You're rarely going to know it. Just make a decision and move on with your life, you know, and kind of adjust from there. I think that's where I got locked up for a long time is overthinking stuff, frankly. I really think about now. I think about how much I used to overthink, you know, which is maybe ironic.
Hey, I think that's good advice. And as a sidebar, and then a little shameless plug, I'm actually working with Brian. We're setting up a Spotfire course coming up April, right, Brian? Is it a? Yeah. I think we're working correct. On the details. I actually owe Brian some details for that, but. Stay tuned. Follow us on this podcast, but also follow us on PTTC. If you don't know what that is, that's the Petroleum Technology Transfer Council. It's been around for about 25 years, but the whole design is to put new technology, new skills in front of a wider audience. And so Brian's been good enough to help us set that up. We're going to do that here in Houston. So more details to come on that. So stay tuned. All right. Well, Brian, hey, thanks for spending some time with us. This is
great. Yeah, Brian, it was very, very fun. Interesting. I've never talked this long to a geologist before, so it was very, very interesting.
Hopefully, you a hard time, hopefully I can bring it. Oh, dude, it's fine. Hey, look, like I said, I'm a geologist and an engineer. It doesn't matter what room I'm in. Half the room's always going to not like me, right? If I'm hanging out with geologists, they think I'm a damn reservoir engineer. If I'm hanging out with the reservoir engineers, they think I'm a damn geologist. So don't worry. That's the same. I like antagonizing people a little bit. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done this to begin with. So,
It was cool, man. I like what you're doing with your indexing and everything. Really cool, man. Really, it's really needed, I think, to preserve that data.
Yep, I totally agree.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Well, hopefully, I agree. Like I said, part of this is kind of a philosophical. Kind of like, hey, someone needs to do this. Obviously, it's a business, so we got to at least make enough money to break even and pay the bills. But, you know, I think we're getting there. It's taken a while. We've made a lot of mistakes along the way, but, you know, we made a lot of good decisions too. And, you know, I think me and the partners are, you know, we're definitely not getting rich off of it anytime soon, but, you know, we're pretty happy with what we've done and feel like we're at least contributing back to the industry a little bit.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. You know,
for
whatever. Yeah, I would agree with that wholeheartedly. So,
Well, hell, if that's not oil filled, I don't know what is. So that sounds pretty good to me. So, awesome. Well, hey, I tell you what, have an awesome night, and I look forward to seeing you here in Houston in a few weeks at that Spotfire course.
Pull the dragons from the ground, yeah.